Around that time, Bante also said to me, he was living on his own, and he said that he felt he had not practiced, he was not practicing what he had taught. And what he had taught was the importance of friendship. And he wasn't practicing it in this context because he didn't have a friend staying with him. And he'd been living on his own at Marginaloka, I think for a few years actually. And probably it worked very well for him for a while. I used to go up and see him from the early 2000s, maybe taking my meal, maybe go up for a chat, maybe to go to discuss something that he wanted to discuss or I wanted to discuss. He spent a lot of time on his own, Bunty. I also well remember if I knocked on the door, especially if he wasn't expecting a visitor, I noticed often he'd be sitting in his chair doing nothing. And that always impressed me that Bunty was just so completely able to do nothing. I often saw him just sitting there doing nothing. So he said he hadn't practiced because he'd ended up living on his own and he was realizing it was not a good idea. In fact, we were all realizing it wasn't a good idea. Those of us in the community, we were also concerned, very concerned. But first of all, we were all rather busy with various responsibilities, although a number of us did respond to Bante definitely and give freely. I had a kind of a resolution. If Bante ever phoned me and said, "Are you free for a walk?" I always said yes, whatever I was in the middle of. And that really helped me because, well, in a way, it's obvious. How could it be any other way? But it was just like that. But there's another reason, which was none of us were the right person. So I remember saying to Bante, "Bante, can I help you to find a friend?" And Bante said something like, "No, I will find them." Actually, that was what Bante was always like regards his friends. He took the initiative and he was, of course, already developing a friendship at that time with Mikal to become Nichabandhu. And at the end of that year, Nichabandhu, not yet ordained, moved. And I want to say something here, well, just to underline what Bante has also written about how much gratitude Bante felt for Nichabandhu. It was absolutely huge. And Bante has written about that. You'll find it, for example, in the piece A Year in Hell. Yeah. And he's written about Nichabandhu elsewhere. And he also told me often at that time, because I was also spending time with Bante, particularly when Nichabandhu was away, as he needed to go away. Some of us were staying overnight with Bante during that period, or just during the day. He felt, of course, to the last day of his life, so much gratitude to Nichabandhu. Similarly, Bante felt so much gratitude to Paramartha. In fact, Bante used to worry a lot about Paramartha. He used to talk with me about this, and Paramartha knows that. Because Bante worried that it was too much for Paramartha. Because at times, during that year in hell, and it was more than a year actually, it was at least a year and a half actually, to two, Bante was at his most vulnerable. And the same thing happened in the autumn of 2012. And it continued for probably a good 2 years. It continued through to the period of moving to Addis Dhamma and for quite a while after. One of Bante's qualities was that he was willing and able to be vulnerable with his friends, and he never dissimulated. And more than once, I'm sure, as a result of the medication that he needed, when he was in a very anxious state, which is well known at times, he was very anxious. He said to me something like, "Mahamati," when his anxiety was speaking, "This is not me speaking, it's the anxiety." And it was true. It was true. And Bante also, he didn't understand why he was having these periods of sleeplessness. This was the case in the first part in the 2002, 2003, and later on. And again, he was just very, very straightforwardly honest about it. He didn't know why. Anybody can have theories. Bhante didn't go in for theories, actually, certainly not about his own experience. And he didn't know why. And it was very, very difficult. While I'm just on this point about rejoicing, I'd like to rejoice in others also. I'd like to rejoice in Suvadra, who spent a huge amount of time with Bhante when Paramartha went to New Zealand just 2 or 3 days before the 90th birthday, when his mother was dying. And during that time, Bhante used to speak to Paramartha by Skype every week. And Bhante had never used Skype before. So sometimes I'd pass by and he'd be in the kitchen. The Skype had been set up on the table. I don't know how well Bhante could see, actually, but not that well. Because Bhante's sight, sometimes it was surprising to me how much he did see. His peripheral vision was good. I think that's how it works. He could take in colour, but he couldn't focus. In fact, the earlier days of his loss of vision, he used to write sometimes, and yeah, you've probably seen his signature and so on. But I don't know whether he could see Paramartha, but they were talking on Skype, and they used to have a regular slot once a week. And not only that, they used to exchange mails probably several times a week. Paramartha must have a huge correspondence with Bhante during that period.